We'll see what's going on out on the Hill as Joe Rexroad from The Athletic joins us now. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
You're putting in a lot of work today. What's been the biggest takeaway from Tennessee's Media Day for you so far?
Well, I think my biggest takeaway, Heather, is media itself, actually, which I know is going to excite fans. But, it's amazing being out here. We were just out on the field with all four quarterbacks in the competition. Out there for a good 20 minutes, go talk to whoever you want, ask them whatever question you want, ask about the competition, ask about the offense, the defense, the coaches, name, image, likeness, you know. Great. Here comes more players. Talk to them now. Ask coordinators about specific, you know, schematic things, and they answer you. So just the openness of this program right now is such a stark contrast to, you know, the last regime. So that, what does that mean? You know, wins and losses, I can't tell you it means anything, but I do think it's a smart way to be. And it is very refreshing. And if you're a Tennessee fan who likes following Tennessee football, you're going to have a much better time, you know, getting information and different kinds of stories and following your team. Now, of course, you got to hope that they win enough for you to care more.
That's true.
As far as having a better time, I think one side of the ball that Tennessee fans want to see that occur on is the defense. And so in talking to Tim Banks, what is kind of the makeup here for the upcoming 4 or 5 weeks? Because it's an area where Tennessee struggled greatly last year, and now Tim Banks is trying to pick something up in a hurry to help progress a unit that really had its shortcomings last season.
Yeah, and he's kind of, I guess I should say, I just said they'll give specifics on schematics. He's still not saying, you know, more of a 3-4, more of a 4-3. You know, it's multiple. I think every D coordinator nowadays just says we're multiple, you know, because obviously you're in your sub packages so often now anyway. But certainly he, Banks recognizes the challenges of up front in particular, finding guys who can get after the quarterback and being stout against the run. I mean, that's, you know, I think obviously Tennessee has some proven players who have played some, you know, a good amount of SEC football in the back end, and they're going to lean on those guys. And there's no doubt Banks is excited about Juwan Mitchell, the linebacker transfer from Texas, much, much needed linebacker transfer, who is apparently very anxious to get on the field tomorrow. But, yeah, I mean, look, the depth thing, just having enough bodies, I mean, it's not like Banks is – he's not setting out any false expectations. They're trying to find guys, and they need guys. You know, they need guys like Tyler Barron and Marvin Joseph and these guys who have been in the program to take big steps.
Yeah, I think you're right. What when you're looking at it, and this is several different facets. I mean, it's Josh Heupel, it's Alex Golish, it's Tim Banks, it's special teams. What are the goals that they want to get done? And I'm kind of giving them a 5 week grace period because I'm including week one of the season. I think they're going to try a lot of things in that Bowling Green game to really see what sticks and what they have. To make final determinations, but what can they truly get done? What are going to be the goals over the next 5 weeks for this coaching staff?
Yeah, well, I mean, number one is the number one thing that we were asking about today, and that's, you know, finding the quarterback. And obviously, it's really preferable if you're a new staff coming in that you have a clear quarterback starter, and he gets all the reps with the ones, and you get him as adjusted to the system as possible. You adjust the system around him as much as possible. That's not the case. But Alex Golish was, I thought he was really more revealing I would have expected today about that whole process. It's, he wants in about a week and a half to be cut down from the four. It sounds like, you know, preferably cut down to two. He did allow that maybe it would be cut down to three. But, I mean, you have to start. That's got to be such a tough balance for him because you want to make the right choice. And I do believe, I know a lot of people out there are like, oh, it's definitely this guy or it's definitely that guy. I believe these guys when they say, like, everyone's going to get a legit chance right now after all of their own work, independent work, all their own time studying film, all the time with the strength coaches working out. They're going to get a chance here right away to separate themselves and stake a claim for the job. But it's got to be tough for Golish because obviously you very much want to get as much work in with your quarterback, but you want to make the right choice. So that's just going to be fascinating to see how it shakes out. But I don't think there's any question that Joe Milton And, you know, going out there talking to the quarterbacks, I agree with Golish. He's like the biggest QB I've ever seen. I mean, he is monstrous, massive. He's very confident. The thumb is healthy, and he's he said, if you want to, I'm paraphrasing, he said, if you want to go on last year's film, go ahead, but there's something totally new coming your way this year.
Based on what we've seen, because we have seen all of these quarterbacks start games at Power 5 conferences, Milton at Michigan, obviously, Hendon Hooker at Virginia Tech, Bailey and Maurer at Tennessee, and we've seen Josh Heupel's offense. Do you have a feel, just from what you've seen personally, as to which quarterback maybe fits that system the best?
I mean, it's difficult. It is. And Golis talked about that, too. I mean, you know, they really do, even with subtle differences with quarterbacks. You might say, here's two drop-back quarterbacks. But, you know, one's much better at these two or three routes, and this one's better at these. You know, they adjust things to their skill set. I don't look at Milton and think fastball offense, you know. But then again, look, I mean, it comes down to can you process things quickly and get the ball out quickly and accurately. I think accuracy is so important, short and intermediate, because it's a lot of it. You're getting it out. I think Milton, you know, you want to talk about a deep ball thrower, he's very gifted. And if the quarterback run game is more of a thing, then certainly, I mean, he's a threat. It's just hard with him, too, because, look, I wasn't impressed with him last year. I watched a fair amount of him at Michigan, but also didn't realize at the time he had torn ligaments in his thumb. I mean, you have to just take that into account, and he's got a real chance here. I mean, but if you want to talk about skill set and how it fits, I mean, I think Hendon Hooker is the most obvious fit, just because he comes from an offense and an OC that, you know, knows Golish's system, that worked with him. They have the same terminology. And I thought, you know, in the spring that you saw that familiarity and the comfort in the system. So if I had to pick one right now, it would be him. And honestly, I just don't think you can discount Harrison Bailey. So, I think like right now I would put Maurer fourth, but I mean, he's here. He was out there today talking about competing, and I take him at his word.
We're talking to Joe Rexroad from The Athletic on the Stanley Vincent Gates Hotline. How important is it for the team to identify that quarterback? I know Alex Golish says they don't want to make any sort of announcements until the week of the Bowling Green game, but it has to be good for all the other positions to know who the guy is going to be more quickly rather than on the heels or on the cusp of the season actually kicking off.
Yeah, no doubt. And, yeah, I mean, at least Golish acknowledged, he's like, I don't think that's going to happen. You know, the idea, like at UCF, I'm sure you could, like, keep something like that under wraps. You know, you got, like, two people coming to practice. I mean, it's not happening here. So I think he's realistic about that. But, yeah, look, I think it's, you know, I guess I'd be surprised if, like, in 10 days there's one quarterback who's getting everything. And look, you do have to still think about this in terms of roster management if you're a coach. If you're these coaches and you say, here's our clear starter, everybody else, thank you, and you're fighting for number two, you can lose. I mean, I think you're going to lose some transfers anyway, but, like, you don't want to lose everybody else, right? I mean, and that's just a reality of how you have to approach this, I think, as a coach. So I guess I would expect it would be two pretty deep. That'd be my guess, two pretty deep in a camp. Question there is splitting reps. When you still have limitations on time and everything, is that going to be enough to get one ready? Golish really said he's not like a fan of the two QB system, but obviously they would, that's possible. And I don't think there's any question that it's possible that whoever wins starting job, someone else could be seeing action in the opener, and Heupel acknowledged that too. So I just get the feeling that two people are going to end up getting the bulk of the reps pretty quickly.
So with the offensive line now, as we kind of continue to talk about the offense, could that dictate the quarterback decision at all? If the offensive line appears to be behind where Josh Heupel wants them, does it lead the decision to going to somebody that might be a little bit more mobile, being able to kind of make up or mask some offensive line deficiencies there?
Yeah, I think that's a good thought, Joel. I mean, I think that's possible. I think another counter to an offensive line, you know, that maybe has a hole here, there is, you know, who's your quarterback who sees things faster than everybody else and gets the ball out faster, just get it out, you know, and three step and out. And so, but I think you're right. I mean, the ability to run to make something out of broken plays has got to be viewed favorably here and maybe more essential. But I also think that this offensive line has a chance to be pretty good. We'll see. It's the time for optimism. But, you know, they've got some guys there, too, who have played some good SEC football, have had some ups and downs. But, I think that they've got the makings there of a pretty good unit.
We're talking to Joe Rexroad of The Athletic. Joe, you did a lot of interviews today. I know you've got some pieces that'll be in the works, but what's coming up for all the folks at theathletic.com?
Yeah, I'm going to write a lot about this, and I've been writing in the real-time app and at theathletic.com, but definitely going to write about Heupel today. That's my column is basically, just the difference in the feel around the program. There are limitations to what that means necessarily on the football field, but there's some refreshing things happening here.
I like to hear that. Check out his work at theathletic.com. Joe, we sure do appreciate you joining us today.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.